Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Okay, let's do it now. The WGN Radio Book Club includes Steve Alexander and Steve Bertrand. We will share some of their recommendations. And in the studio to give us his is Bob Kessler. And in jolly old England, across the pond, there's our friend Sarah Tiemann. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, John and Bob. How are you all?
We're good. Mr. Kessler, are you ready to go, too?
I'm ready to go, and I'm good. Nice to hear Sarah's voice and yours, too, John.
Sarah worked with us for years and years and years. Then she and her husband, John, moved to England. We wanted to continue to make her the librarian of the book club. I'm going to go first. One Summer, America, 1927 by Bill Bryson. If Bryson writes it, I read it. Sarah, have you read this book yet?
No, actually, it's been sitting on my shelf for a really long time, but I'm much the same to you, Bill Bryson fan in the house here.
Yeah, right. And this one came out in 2014, so I don't know where I was.
Yeah. But
it chronicles May to September of 1927. So there's Babe Ruth and Charles Lindbergh and Sinclair Lewis, the booze, the broads, as they say, the entertainment, the culture. Zip through a zany year. It is the epitome of fun history with, of course, dark clouds on the horizon. 1927 in America is a romp, and Bill Bryson tells it. So how about you, Sarah? Go next. What's a book you enjoyed?
So it came out this year. This book made me think of you by Libby Page. And honestly, it's probably the second book that I've read this year that's going to be on my top 10. I would call it an absolute treasure of a book. It follows a year in the life of a woman named Tilly Nightingale, who's grieving the death of her husband, Joe. She gets a surprise phone call from her local bookshop in January with the owner, Alfie, telling her that there's a book waiting for her. And she's real reticent and reluctant to go get it. She eventually does, and every month she goes back to the bookshop, and waiting for her is a book chosen by her late husband, Joe, with a letter. So all I can tell you is keep the tissues handy. It deals with grief in the most beautiful, poignant way. And I think most of all, I wrote this in my synopsis, but I think this is so true. It speaks to the transformative nature of books and the ways in which reading can be a balm for the soul. It's like how they transform her life over that year from, it's just miraculous. It's just like a lovely, lovely book. I immediately held it for my mom at the library, and she couldn't wait. She went out and bought a copy, and she texted me the other night, and my mama said she was just crying and love, love, love this book. So please, if you're looking for something uplifting and heartwarming and just a genuinely delightful read, this book Made Me Think of You by Libby Page.
I got goosebumps at your just very first description. What a great, clever premise. Bob, you go next.
Yeah,
what's a book you enjoyed?
All the Water in the World by Erin Caffell. She's a local author, and it's about climate disaster. I'm noticing post-apocalyptic books and movies have been around for a while, right? Think of Mad Max or Logan's Run or all these other things. But I've seen more books lately that are set maybe in the not-too-distant future, where maybe not one major apocalyptic event happens, but it's a series of events. So this one is about the world we might live in when climate disasters become really, really bad. So maybe they don't say what year it is, but maybe 10 years from now, 20 years from now. Erin Caffell is a climate journalist, but it's the life of a family and how they are able to cope with this and what things are preserved as much of the world is flooded. And then what kinds of other disasters come about because it's a lot warmer and it's a lot wetter. And so it's part speculative journalism and part family story. It was really excellent. Yeah. Really
Give
good.
Us the title again.
All the Water in the World. And she
By the way,
says sounds like it's going to become the first part of a series of novels.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, you made me think of, I'll just read Steve Alexander's suggestion, Project Hail Mary. He said, I know this book has been reviewed to death, but I will quickly add this. If you live in fear of the sun burning out and all the creatures on earth suffering agonizing, miserable deaths, you might want to skip this one. The movie sticks very closely to the book, but the audiobook is much better with more humor and great scientific detail of how things unfold. Even if you've seen the movie, Steve Alexander recommends the audiobook. And I think you would too, right, Sarah?
Yeah, I've actually read the book. When he said that, I'm like, oh, I should listen to the audiobook. I want to add with that one, too, that I'm not a fan. Like, I don't delve much into the world of, like, sci-fi. But I read that for a book club a couple of years ago and absolutely loved it. So if, like, that category puts you off, don't let it, because it's a really lovely, well-written, beautiful book. And Rocky, I echo Steve.
So of all of the aliens in the world that you would want to have lunch with, Rocky would be the one then, right?
I think so, yeah.
Me too.
Definitely. Okay. I still actually need to see the
music.
Film, but.
That's right. John Williams here. Our book club attendees today are Sarah Tiemann. She's the librarian of it all. Also at WGNradio.com, you'll see the recommendations from the big book reader and podcaster Steve Bertrand. Steve Alexander reads a lot. He made his recommendations as well. Our Bob Kessler is in the studio. Sarah, repeat the title of the book that you are recommending, because it sounds like you're just talking, but it's actually the title of the book, too. Which one was
that? This book made me think of you by Lily Page. Came out in 2026, about a month or so ago.
All right, Bob, you go again. What's another one you like, Bob?
Another work of fiction, recent novel called The Phoenix Pencil Company by Allison King. So it's about a young woman who is in college, and she was raised by her grandparents who came from China. And her grandmother is showing signs of dementia, but she's able to recall memories in an unusual way. It's going to sound really strange, but she has some ability that only some women have to take a pencil and hold it up next to her arm, and then she can just write whatever the pencil had written before. So they used it in World War II as espionage. It sounds really strange, but it's actually really brilliant about memory and about what we want to preserve about our lives, maybe things we don't want to preserve. It's about the impermanence of all of that. It was a really beautiful story about passing things down through the generations and leaving your culture behind and what's left behind and what changes. Yeah, Phoenix Pencil Company. Highly recommend it.
The Phoenix Pencil Company came out last year. It's by Allison King. You're next, Sarah. What else you got?
So I'll make one tie into, it's not on my list, but it's an oldie. When Bob was talking about dystopian novels, if that's your thing, The Light Pirate by Lily Brooks Dalton came out in 2022, kind of set in a dystopian Florida where storms have ravaged the state and it's basically flooded, and how a family survives is also a great read. So just to make that connection there. If you're interested in that. But a really different sort of suggestion is Hecate the Witch by Nikita Gill. It's actually a book all written in verse. So if you're not familiar with Nikita Gill, she's actually one of my favorite poets. I first kind of came across her work, I think, in 21. My favorite of hers is a collection of poems called Where Hope Comes From, poems of resilience, healing, and light, which is really beautiful. But this is her first novel, and it's basically a retelling of the kind of life and origin story of Hecate, the Greek goddess of magic and the underworld. It's going to be a series of kind of underworld goddesses. The next one, I think, is coming out in September, featuring Styx. Styx, the river, also plays into this book as well, because basically, Hecate and her mother are fleeing from the Olympian gods because their family, the Titans, have lost the big, you know, god war. The Olympians have, flourished and won. Her mother appeals to the underworld to accept her and her daughter, and Styx and Hades only accept Hecate, and the mother is banished. So it's how Hecate deals with kind of that abandonment and sort of figuring out who she is, you know, as like a godling and kind of stepping into her own. Very interesting story. And I think if you're a fan of mythology or just looking for something different, could be a great title for you.
You guys have also made me think, one more time, Sarah, the title of that is?
Hecate the Witch.
Yeah, it's spelled H-E-K-A-T-E. Hecate.
Correct.
Looks like
yeah.
Hecate. Hecate the
yeah.
Witch. Yeah, yeah. You guys have also made me think of A City on Mars. I've reviewed this book before, so it's not on my list today. At WGNradio.com on the John Williams page. But since we were just talking about how inhabitable the Earth might be, this is a book called The City on Mars, which looks at, well, maybe what would it be like if we were to populate Mars or even the moon? It is so funny. It's so breezy. But it's written by a scientist. She's a scientist. He's an illustrator. It's a husband and wife team. And it's super duper smart. You know, if you like The Martian, remember how fun that book was and the movie was with Matt Damon, but also smart. This has that same total vibe, except that where in, say, The Martian, you go, okay, he could survive on Mars. This is like, guys, the worst day on Earth will be the best day on the moon. And forget about Mars. I want Elon Musk to read this and invest in something that will do more good for the world. But it's I like this book so much, I'm bringing it with me on my next cruise later this month. This month. We're going in a couple weeks. I'm bringing this book, and I'm going to read it again because it's just delightful and smart. A City on Mars is that book. Bob, you're up next. Go.
Everyone knows I'm a big jazz fan. So there was a jazz performer, composer, band leader named Sun Ra. That was not his birth name. I have had his biography sitting on my bookshelf for more than 20 years called Space is the Place by John Sved. And I saw Sun Ra on TV in the 80s, and I had no idea what I was seeing. He was wearing these Egyptian robes and these crazy costumes, and his entire band was that way. I had no idea what I was seeing, but I knew I loved it. And I've been a listener to Sun Ra periodically over the years. And this doesn't really, it's hard to explain his music. I don't think a book can, but he was a person who carved his own path in the world. He grew up in Alabama, a black person. So life was not easy. And he rejected a lot of the world he grew up in the early 20th century and became this other being. I was going to say character, but this was real to him. He said he was from Saturn. and space is the place. And if you were in his band, you lived with him and you rehearsed with him all the time. And they were one of the greatest jazz groups of all time. He was truly eccentric, but truly a genius. He actually spent a lot of years in Chicago in the 40s and 50s. Didn't stay here, but it's very detailed. So. Yeah, it's just some music that can't be explained in words, nor should be, but these are the best words that you could assemble about Sun Ra.
Title of the book is?
Space is the Place.
815 said, John, I just finished the book by Alan Levy Theo of Golden, What a great book, says Sandy.
That was excellent.
Another listener says, I'm an elder millennial, and I'm really enjoying Lena Dunham's new memoir. I saw that was on the New York Times bestseller list. John, please thank Bob Kessler for recommending Theo of Golden. I listened to the audio version. It was wonderful. I loved it. My recommendation is Upward Bound, which was also wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Alexander and Steve Bertrand have more recommendations than I have time to list.
Steve Alexander recommended Theo of Golden.
Theo of Golden, too. I could have read his review. So let's close with you, Sarah. One more book you want us to know about.
They Call This Enemy by George Takei. So this is presented as a graphic novel, but it's actor George Takei's memoir recounting his childhood in the years that he spent in his family basically living in an American concentration camp during World War II.
Yeah.
So after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, sentiments were not favorable to those of Japanese descent, whether you were born here in the States or, you know, you were first or second generation. So they were forced from their homes and couldn't even access their money and were shuttled back and forth between, I think they at the end lived in two or three camps. And it's sort of his reckoning with that and, you know, his father's reckoning and his parents and sort of the fallout from that entire experience. To me, I think it's a really important look into a period of our history that sort of gets overshadowed. I, for one, didn't learn about it in history class. I only found out about it when I visited Bainbridge Island in Seattle a handful of years ago. So I think it's, you know, important, and it's presented in a really accessible, interesting way. Graphic novels are always kind of, I think, a fun delight to read, regardless, and really nice illustrations. And, you know, George Takei, if you're a Star Trek fan, I think, important one. Yeah.
Among the text messages, John loved the pencil company, my choice for my book club.
Good.
847 said, speaking of cruises, I loved American Fantasy, about a woman on a cruise for a 90s boy band. It was so fun. And John, I just finished this book. It's a great read. The Blues Brothers, An Epic Friendship, mm-hmm. by Daniel De... Is it... Pete, is it DeVise or DeVise? DeVise. There's an accent over the E. In fact, we interviewed the author, now that I think about it. This 400-page biography explores the friendship between Belushi and Aykroyd, the evolution of Saturday Night Live, the Chicago improv scene, the chaotic production of the 1990 film, said one of our listeners. And yeah, I can recommend that one too. Okay, guys, we're out of time. Sarah, let's do it again in a month.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Happy cruising, and good to hear you all.